KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:05, it's mostly clear, 18 degrees below zero with a wind chill of 32 below. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Meyer & Gross Real Estate in Atlantic. Call 243-4100. A wind chill warning remains in effect until 6 p.m. today for most of the listening area, until noon for the far west and southwest counties, and in both cases after that, there will be a wind chill advisory in effect. In the news, authorities say a man strangled his former girlfriend before setting a fire at the Sioux City hotel room. Woodbury County court records say Jordan Henry was charged Tuesday with first-degree murder. He's already been charged with arson, trespassing, and other crimes. Police say an autopsy showed 40-year-old Elizabeth Bockholt of Hinton was strangled. Firefighters found her unresponsive last Thursday night in the damaged Wingate hotel room, and she was pronounced dead later at a hospital. A criminal complaint says Henry is a 29-year-old transient living in Sioux City. The complaint says also he was identified on surveillance video and by witnesses who saw him leaving the area just after the room fire was discovered. Elsewhere in the news, Tyson Foods is recalling more than 36,000 pounds of chicken nuggets because they may be contaminated with rubber. The U.S. Ag Department said there were consumer complaints about extraneous material in 5-pound packages of Tyson white meat panko chicken nuggets. There are no confirmed reports of any adverse reactions. The packages have a best if used by date of November 26th of this year and a case code of 3308. SDL03. The establishment core is P-13556, and that's inside the USDA inspection mark. If you happen to have those, the nuggets should be thrown out or returned to the place of purchase. Tuesday's recall comes after Purdue Foods recalled more than 16,000 pounds of chicken nuggets because of an undeclared allergen, milk. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy on Tuesday announced the extension of 3 water quality demonstration projects focused on innovative ways to encourage adoption of water quality focused conservation practices. The projects were initially funded in 2015 and are being extended for 3 years to upscale their efforts and accelerate practice implementation in support of the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy. Ag says by extending these projects, we can build on their strong foundations and early successes. These projects are great examples of innovative approaches to engage farmers and encourage the adoption of water quality focused practices. And he says we look forward to adding new partners to these projects and continuing to work with local farmers and agribusinesses to make measurable progress toward our water quality goals. Among the 3 projects receiving extensions is the Taylor County Water Quality Initiative. The project works with farmers in Taylor County by promoting alternative land management practices on farm areas identified to be marginal or potentially unprofitable. The project works with farmers to evaluate the specific production levels and goals within their farming operation. It utilizes several tools to evaluate current farm-scale profitability, combined with conservation practice and land use alternatives. Rather than focus on the entire field, the project demonstrates which areas of a field should be considered for alternative forms of production, thus making them more profitable and more sustainable. The project has already engaged 85 participants in the first 2 years, and 60 of those farmers have already implemented conservation management changes on their fields. More than 30 additional farmers are on a waiting list to participate in the project. Other projects include the Iowa Seed Corn Cover Crops Initiative and the Central Iowa Watershed Management Authority WQI project. Together, the 3 projects will receive over $2 million in additional funding through the Iowa Water Quality Initiative over the next 3 years. In addition to the state funds, the projects will generate an estimated $5 million in matching funds and other in-kind contributions to support water quality improvement efforts. Well, the U.S. Postal Service will not be delivering the mail today. Schools, churches, and even some Iowa businesses are closed on this frigid Wednesday morning, but the state government is open.
State agencies within Iowa's executive branch of government will be open to maintain our commitments to Iowans throughout the state.
As Governor Kim Reynolds, who said there was a very similar weather in 2014, and state government did not close then either.
In a couple days, it's going to be 40, so it's Iowa, and we just need to be conscientious of the weather.
Reynolds spoke with reporters Tuesday afternoon and read through a list of tips for surviving when the feels-like temperature reaches minus 40, minus 50, or even more frigid depths.
You know, stay indoors when possible, dress warmly in loose-fitting, layered, lightweight clothing, keep dry, change wet clothing frequently to prevent loss of body heat, maintain at least half a tank of gas at all times, and to keep an emergency supply kit in your car.
The governor's schedule calls for her to be on the road today visiting businesses in four eastern Iowa cities.
We're Iowans, and so, you know, I mean, this is part of the elements that we deal with, and so just be mindful that it's nasty outside and it's going to be really cold, so dress appropriately. If you can stay inside, stay inside. Make sure that you're not, you know, operating on an eighth of a tank of gas and you're heading to the Quad Cities, you know, and make sure you got a kit in your car in case for some reason it would stall. And I think if people are just thoughtful about, you know, when they go out into the elements, they'll be fine.
Reynolds plans to be in Albion by 9 o'clock this morning, followed by midday tours of companies in Cedar Falls and Cedar Rapids, plus a late afternoon stop in Tipton. Well, heating systems are facing the biggest test of the winter season right now, and Alliant Energy spokesman Justin Foss said there are a couple of things you can do to help you keep your home heating system make it through the frigid weather. Foss says to make sure your gas meters are not covered up.
There's usually a round disc on the outside of the gas meter, and that's a vent, a regulator, and that needs to be free of ice and snow. And so if your gas meter is covered in a big drift, clear that off. Use your hands, not a shovel, because you don't want to hit the pipes and break them. So use your hands, clear that off, give that gas meter some space to breathe.
Foss says older homes vent their furnaces and water heaters through the roof, but for newer homes, it's different.
Have the furnace vented and the water heater vented to the side of the house. So if you've got big drifts that are piling up, covering those vents on the side, you need to clean those off so your furnace and your water heater have air to breathe and to operate as they're supposed to.
Foss says there's no magic answer on where to set your thermostat when it's this cold outside.
You know, maybe don't set it back to 60 degrees or so. You know, maybe keep it a little bit warmer, but understand that your furnace is going to be running all the time no matter what temperature you set it at.
Foss adds that carbon monoxide detectors need to be used in your home to detect any malfunction of the water heater or furnace. The news was brought to you by Myron Gross Real Estate. For a great quality service, give Myron Gross Real Estate a call at 243-4100 or stop by 621 Poplar Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.